Dinah seems to have gone somewhere. I don't know. I hope she's coming back. Oh, no, they're there. That's okay. That's not a problem there. Okay. Right. Finally, we have David Morris, who is, as some of you will know, the senior policy advisor on disability and deaf issues to the Mayor of London. And he'll be speaking about part about the GLA's angle, the GLA angle on this, but also about other things besides.
Can I first ask a sort of technical question? Is the light okay for everybody? Because we can dim it a bit if that's helpful, because the lights are a bit crap, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay, we're doing the lights. Can you also hear me okay? Because the mics are a bit crap as well. Just to introduce myself, David Morris, I'm Senior Policy Advisor to the Mayor Ken Livingstone on disability and deaf equality issues. I'd first really like to welcome you to City Hall. I think it's really fundamentally important that we are able to have these debates and meetings at the heart of London's democracy. And I'm really pleased to be able to facilitate that and work with you. And I'm really also interested to find out, both by listening to you this evening and also by offering and extending my email and contact details to you, to know what it is that we need to do in terms of inclusion so that we can make our city one which respects all of us and one which values all of us and one which accepts all of us and one which celebrates all of our contribution, because that's fundamentally important. London is the most diverse city in the world. We are part of its diversity, and we must always remember that. I'll start with a couple of quotes, because I like doing that. I sort of like collecting things that other disabled people have said. I think it's a paraphrase, because I haven't got it written in front of me. But Rosa Luxemburg once said, freedom is always and exclusively for those of us that think differently. And I'll quote myself now at Liberty last week. Normality, like pigeons and butternut squash, is hugely overrated. The fact is that I believe fundamentally in the fact that humanity is on a spectrum. Some of us face different barriers. Some of us face barriers that are placed in our way by society, which prevent us from achieving our full potential, which prevent us from contributing to society as we should do. I think it's really very, very boring to be grey and ordinary and like everybody else and sit down and watch some crap reality TV programme that tells us what to do and excludes us. I stopped watching TV for a while because I was so annoyed with the way in which all of our lives were portrayed in a way which was a mechanical reflection of a society that somebody else wants. The fact is that if we make our city and if we make our society responsive to our needs, it will benefit everybody. Because those of us who are sensitive to the crap in our environment which is around us, obviously, I'm sensitive to the fact that there might be a flight of stairs in front of me as a wheelchair user. But I'm sensitive to lots of other things, like we all are in our environment. I'm sensitive to open plan offices. I don't like them. It makes it, that I use voice activated software, makes it difficult for me. Technology is very important. But also, I'm at a different height from most people, and often my orientation is affected. And there are things that that make it sensitive. And I know colleagues of mine who are really very, very good at their job and very focused, know what they're doing, but suddenly are placed in an environment which is really quite disturbing. And then they are seen as the people that are different, when in fact, actually, the environment is making us that way. In this building, I've been struggling, and we've been working very hard to change some design features which affect everybody. In some of the committee rooms, there's some really disturbing sort of acoustic material on the walls, which I know everybody finds really difficult. But it's only those people who are really sensitive to it who presents a real barrier to that makes them ill. That then people say, well, there's something wrong with you. But everybody faces the problem. So I think it's so fundamentally important that we work together and build alliances and recognise that actually we're all facing the issues, and if we don't work together in a political way, we won't make change. But if we do, we will make change. I think it's worth remembering that it's only something like 88 or 89 years ago that women were not allowed to vote. That's not very long ago. The world has changed fundamentally, and I believe what you're doing is the start of a revolutionary process. I mean, back to the beginning when Diana was talking about user groups, I fundamentally distrust the word user. What it reminds me of is the concept that was propagated in Nazi Germany.
Can I interrupt a second? Can somebody turn that thing off, whatever it is?
It's a phone.
It's on the mobile.
No.
Could people turn their mobile off, please?
Yeah, can I turn mine off now, because it'll make a noise when I do it.
Well, turn it off now, yeah.
Okay, that's why I didn't turn it off.
But back again to user, the concept of user, it always reminds me of the Nazi terminology of useless eater, which is what we were described as. And we must remember that there are people around now, some of them sort of on the top of my hat, which I go around with badges around the fascists around today, but there are people around that think we are also now useless eaters, the people that don't want us to contribute, which is why it's very important that we continue to assert our rights and recognise that actually it isn't anything, as we started off, it isn't anything much to demand and assert our right to be part of our diverse society. And all I can say is that in terms of what we're doing, and I hope what the disability movement is doing, in terms of building alliances and raising awareness of issues at a political level, we can recognise that our society is about all of us, and actually we are the majority, and it is our own unique individuality that makes our society interesting. And I wish you well, and I will do whatever I can to support the development of a good and credible and strong movement for autistic rights, and thank you for inviting me to speak.
Thank you.
Thank you, David. Okay, well, that's the end of the presentations. The meeting is now going to be open to the floor. My philosophy is that we should focus in part on the discussion on practical action. I do want to share a couple of ideas that have been discussed, you know, elsewhere that I know of. One, of course, is David has a policy at Congress on the 8th of October, I believe. If I may want to spend a couple of minutes talking about that.
Yeah, well, thank you for reminding me. I forgot my own advert. But the Mayor's Disability and Deaf Equality Conference, Disability Capital, is being held on Monday, 8th of October. Many of you might have received an email, I hope. Those of you that haven't, just either email myself, I'll leave my contact details, or email, there's an email address, disabilitycapital@london.gov.uk. You can go to the Mayor's website and click on Mayor's Issues, Equality and Diversity. You'll eventually find the conference details, and you can register online. There'll be a wide and broad debate A lot of it about discrimination law, one of the things we need to recognise is that the equalities landscape is changing at the moment. There's proposals to change the existing commissions. A new commission will be in action pretty soon. There's proposals for what I believe is a weakening and watering down of equality legislation. These things are very important. They'll be debating them. There'll be a live webcast. And we've also got the investigative journalist from America, Edmund Black, who's written a definitive history of eugenics, who will be giving a keynote address, and we'll be talking about the old eugenics, new genetics, which is a debate around which I think is fundamentally important. But it's on the edges of and on the peripheries of some people's radar. But all of the debates around assisted suicide and right to life and the costs of supporting the community, these are all things that are moving us towards a place where we were some years ago. And actually what Edwin's done, and I will commend you his book, which is called War Against the Weak. His words with weak and in italics. But it actually traces back historically the eugenics movements right back to here in politics and Carnegie and H.G. Wells and George Bernard Shaw and others who, and Winston Churchill, all of whom supported eugenicist ideas. And it's not a long way from some of the debates we're having now to another place which is much, much more dangerous, which is why I think we have to guard and have to be together and recognise that if we try and compete in terms of our own interests and impairments, we will never succeed. If we work together, we will always succeed.
Thank you for that, David. Drop again.